Hi, Ken.
Hey, Allison.
I guess it hasn't started yet.
They said 6 o'clock, but I always like to warm it up and make sure it's working, okay?
I know how it is. That's exactly what I did. I didn't want to leave anything to chance.
No, if you wait till the last minute, something's going to go wrong.
That's right. That's right. I know that Jennifer and Kyle are working to set it up in the upstairs conference room, so we should be hearing from them. I'm going to reach out to both of them and say that we're already on. So, I just keep pe feeding my pellet furnace. Oh my gosh, it is so cold. It is like January.
Yeah, and the wind was, I went out and cleared the driveway today, and the wind was blowing, and every time I go the wrong way, I get it right in the face. So,
My dog goes out to, she's all business.
yeah, I
Gets
noticed
it
that with,
done, goes right back in.
Lucy. She just doesn't wait outside long. She's
No.
back at the door before I can sit down sometimes.
Nancy doesn't put up with much. She's a southern dog. She doesn't like to be cold. So who else from NVDA is here? That must be Jennifer.
I don't know, she's got to open up her speaker there.
Here's Joe Kasperzak.
There he is.
Hi, Joe.
Good evening. How are
Maybe
you?
so, Jen.
Yeah.
Maybe both. Yeah. Oh, do you think maybe both? That's what the Twin State Rail Trail Project. There's a rail with trail feasibility study that was collaborated on with the Twin State Rail Trail Project folks, Vermont Rail System, and the snowmobile clubs for a very small segment in New Hampshire. And so that feasibility study was just finished. And so we'll kind of see how that goes.
That would
See
be
what kind of
super
steam
exciting.
left
Wouldn't
for
that be
that.
amazing if we had both?
Yeah, and even if it's a patchwork, right? That's what Marianne has been talking about is, maybe it's not feasible for the whole stretch, but in the areas that it is possible.
It would, if it was on the stretch, it would do a connection that
It
would
would be
be
amazing. Yeah.
amazing
And
to New
I'll
Hampshire.
send you that Wing Road feasibility
No,
study
I
because
checked
they
it.
do a
It's
really good job of outlining in the beginning history and context.
A
And
friend
so
of
Marianne
mine from Rock,
includes her maps
they
of
loved it, and they really
the Vermont
feel.
Rail Trail
Yeah, our
System
north.
and the New Hampshire Rail Trail System, but then also how that corridor fits within the broader vision for the New England 1,000 miles of connectivity for all of New England.
Oh, I would love to see that. That would be great.
Yeah, send that along. They said I got permission. They said, "Is this something?" Because we've been looking at several different drafts and like, keep under your wraps. I said, "Can I share this one?" They said, "Yes, please, as many people as possible."
Wonderful. Okay. Perfect. I just want to be sure our online people can hear us, okay?
Yeah.
No problem.
They seem to be catching me speaking, though. I think I have the.
Yes, I can hear. Steve.
Hey, Jim, there's some waters and cookies up there, obviously.
Thank you. I don't know if I've met you before. Are you Jim Brown?
Yes.
Hi, Cynthia Stewart. Nice to meet you.
Yes.
Great. From St. Jake. Okay,
Yes.
perfect. Trying to get so I know faces. I'm usually really good with faces, but the names I struggle with. So
If I ask again and again, I apologize.
Well, sometimes I forget Dave's face and his name. Suddenly, this all happens. And then I'm looking at a picture of him somewhere out there. Oh, that's Dave. I
remember. There he is.
He's still around.
Do you remember him from a younger day or something?
Well, let's go back a few years. People on the sidelines somewhere watching track.
Yeah.
Yep.
My kids, it would have been high school, right?
Yeah.
So at least 5 years ago.
I saw the track kids running up Mount Pleasant. What? It's 17 degrees out. They do have the vests on. It's 4 o'clock, getting dark. Oh, there's their coach, Hayden Bunnell, Lou. That's what he's going to do because he runs a lot himself.
Okay.
Okay.
One thing I've never been is a runner.
No,
I try. I do get on the treadmill and do a walk jog, but it's not pretty.
How the road feeling when you get up like you're still moving.
Yeah. Well, I can bike. I'd say I'm more of a workhorse than a racehorse.
Okay.
How are the roads around St. Jay?
Slow and steady.
I think they're greasy.
Yeah, well, we just drove from Burlington. We just got back about 20 minutes, about 2 hours. You know, a little over 2 hours.
Yeah. We didn't expect him, so that's good.
Jennifer, is Kyle there with you, or is he participating remotely?
Yeah, here.
I haven't seen him yet. I thought he was coming here in person.
There he is.
Good, thank you. The gentleman upstairs will be right back.
Okay.
For some reason he thought it was up there.
Oh, the Chad?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I went first, but then I said, oh, must be down in the office.
I should put a sign on the door.
Grant's looking for me.
We'll give it just a couple more minutes because there's some people who are around the building here.
They look like we'll have a majority enough too.
That's what we're.
Okay.
Allison, I just want to say thank you for all your initial help in trying to get Wheelock's planning committee going. There are a few hurdles, I would say, that need to be overcome yet. But my wife, Carol, is glad that you're involved in helping out with all of this. It's, you know, helped to keep it on track.
Well, thank you. I thought it was really interesting, both Carol, I can't remember who else who did interviews with previous planning commission members.
Right.
That was really interesting. Yeah, Megan. Teresa. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Carol interviewed me.
That's all right.
So I've been on three planning committees over the years. Yeah. So I decided not to volunteer this time around, but I kind of got Carol to do it. So she's not sure if she's happy about it or not yet, but it's interesting part and process for her. But
yeah,
that one hurdle that needs to be, somehow worked out that's interfering with the whole process.
Yeah.
I won't say names or issues or what, but we all know probably. And she was, that same hurdle, that same issue was back 15 years ago when I was chair of the select board and chair of the planning committee at that point too, I think. It was two cycles ago, or maybe no, it was three cycles ago. It must have been, but you know, it's always been there and it hasn't changed. And yeah. You know, this time around, hopefully we'll get that resolved. But I know you need to get to your meeting. We need to get to the meeting. So, but thank you.
Well, thank you. It's a good group.
Yeah, let's open this building up for St. J. Sparkles and see if people can find their way back to the beginning. Make that a maze up there.
Good Halloween maze.
Oh, we could darken those halls.
And Tina says her mic is from
Charleston.
There we go. Okay, so let's bring the meeting to order at 6 o'clock. Welcome, everybody. I would love to go around and just introduce yourself, what town you're from, and how long you've been connected with NBCA. So I'll go down through the list. If I miss anybody, we can come back. So Fred, let's start with you.
Hi, my name is Fred Saar. I'm the secretary and treasurer, and I've been connected with NBCA about 4 months longer than Dave has been here. And I don't know if either one of us know how long that's been.
75.
Anybody want to guess how long that is?
how long have you been here?
Almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Almost 20 years. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Mike Strait.
Hi, I'm Mike Strait. I'm from the town of Brighton. And so I've actually only been on the board for a couple of months, but I've worked with NVDA for a lot of years, just on the opposite side.
Welcome. Joel Cope.
Hi, town administrator, town of Brighton. I work with Mike a lot. I'd rather not really say how long I've been involved with NVDA.
Okay. Joel, this is Fred. What's new?
Hey, Fred.
Michael Gagne.
Good.
Okay.
I am Mike Gagne from the town of Charleston, and I've been on the board for the last 8 years.
Wonderful. Welcome. Cynthia Stewart from Concord, and I think I've been 4 or 5 years connected on the board. So, such a pleasure. Kenneth Lindsley.
Hi. Representing Danville for about the past 4 or 5 years.
Wonderful. Welcome. Grant Spates. Whoops, you're on mute, Grant.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be careful.
Unmute yourself.
And we can come back if you... It's always hard on a phone to unmute. I've had that challenge before. There we go.
Yep. Finally got it on the phone from Derby.
How long you been connected with NVDA?
I got on the Derby select board, I want to think 3 terms ago. So probably been 6 or 9 years at this point.
Okay. Welcome. Catherine Baxter, Kate Baxter.
Hi, that's me. I'm Kate Baxter from Lunenburg. And this is my second meeting. I'm brand new.
Welcome. Great.
Indeed.
Jim Brown.
Yeah, Jim Brown, St. Johnsbury, 4 or 5 years now, I think.
Paul Bruch.
Yeah, I've been a representative from the town of Sutton on the board since, I don't know, about 2010. And I'm currently serving as your Caledonia vice president.
And Steve Amos.
Steve Amos from Wheelock. I'm co-chair. Eileen Boland is also helping out here because I've been running through some medical stuff, but she's out of town and couldn't make the meeting this time. I've been on the NVDA board, I'd say at least, I don't know, eight, nine years, something like that. And then I was at the select board in Wheelock for 7 years, and we're involved with many, many projects with you on the other end. You know, and again, Allison has been invaluable over all those years. So we really appreciate her work. And David, you know, it's great. Thank you all. It's a great organization. So.
Perfect. Thanks for joining, Steve. And I see Rick Ufford Chase on there.
Hi, everybody. Rick Ufford Chase from City of Newport. Just starting my term this fall and glad to be with you all. I'm going to apologize in advance because I have to duck out at 6:25 to attend another meeting for what I think will probably just be half an hour. And I'll come back and see if y'all are here when I'm done.
Perfect. We totally understand. And do I have any other board members that I've overlooked? I'm going to then go to the public and staff to do some introductions. But
Mike Marcotte and Marty Feltus.
Okay, Mike Marcotte.
Chad Whitehead. Yeah.
I'm Mike Marcotte. I'm a legislative representative, but I also had represented Coventry when I was on the select board. I'd been part of NVDA well before Dave.
Welcome, Mike. Thank you. Marty, are you, Marty Feltus, is you on the call? Whoops, almost Marty. Yeah, there we go.
Muted.
Just muted.
Okay, yeah. Yes, Marty Feltus. I'm the town representative from Linden, also a legislative representative. And like a couple of other folks, I've been around even before Dave was here. So off and on service to NVDA for a long time. And I apologize as well. I'm trying to juggle between this meeting and another. And so I may be off a good bit of the time. But thank you anyway. Thank you for being here, everybody.
Perfect. And Chad Whitehead.
Yeah, I'm Chad Whitehead. I'm St. Johnsbury's town manager. Been working in working with NVDA for at least 10 years since I've been with the town. I don't recall. I think I'm only been a board member for 2, maybe 3 years.
Perfect. Welcome, Chad. And I know you're going to be speaking to us on a topic in a few minutes. Let's see. Any other Joe? I don't think Joe's Kasperzak. I don't know if you're on the board, but Joe, you're attending, right?
I am. Thank you. Joe Kasperzak, assistant town manager for the town of St. Johnsbury and former employee for NVDA with Dave.
Perfect. And Carolyn Crankshaw.
There we go. Yeah, hi, Carolyn. I'm from Sheffield. I'm the chair of the planning commission there.
Perfect. Welcome. And let's see, I have Evan Olson on here. I think you're going to be speaking to us soon as well.
That's right. Nice to see you all. I'll do a full introduction in the True Temper discussion section.
Perfect. Thank you. And then transitioning to staff. So Dave.
Hi, everybody. Good to see you all. Thanks for coming. Dave Snedeker, director of NVDA. And since 2013, when I took over from Steve Patterson, I was with the board probably 7 years prior to that. So happy to be here tonight.
Nice. Jennifer.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Birchall. I'm office manager, and I've been here. I just hit 1 year on December 2nd.
Nice. Penny.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Annie McLean. I'm the Community and Economic Development Coordinator for NVDA. I've been an employee for almost 5 years. And prior to that, I was the planning director for the town of Linden for about 4 years and worked very closely with NVDA during that time.
Great, thank you. Let's see, Kyle.
Hi, yep, I'm Kyle Dwyer, regional planner with NVDA, and I'll have been here 2 years in January.
Welcome, Allison.
Hi, I'm Allison Lowe, senior planner. I've been here since July 1st in 2003. And prior to that, I was the first downtown coordinator for the town of St. Johnsbury. And so I spent a lot of time loitering in NVDA space.
Love it. Tina.
Tina Gagne, business manager, and I've been with NVDA for 8.5 years.
Wonderful. And it looks like, did I overlook Wade Cochran?
Yeah, I think so.
Wade, welcome.
Hi, everyone. Excuse me. I'm actually sitting in for Sue Hayes tonight for the town of Waterford, but I'm a selectman for the town of Waterford.
Great. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. Anybody else? I want to make sure I didn't miss anyone. Perfect. It's great to see so many people here tonight. We really appreciate it. Are there any updates to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, then the agenda will serve. We'll move forward. We're looking for review and approval of the June 19th, 2025 minutes.
Move we approve the minutes from June 19, 2025.
Okay. Move forward
I'll
from
second.
Kyle. And who was the second?
Steve Amos, second.
Okay, great. Thank you, Steve. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Raise your
Aye.
hands. Is there any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, nice have it. And approval of the September and October 2025 unaudited financial reports.
Yeah, well, I've never reviewed them, but I will move to approve them based on subsequent audit. No, a second.
Right, and I know Fred has reviewed them.
Yep.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Think any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, ayes have it. Moves forward. So we're looking at approval of the bylaw amendments. And before we do that, I want to make sure that if there's any questions, we could bring the motion forward if you'd like, but just want to make sure that we touched everything in the some of the changes. If you want to go over just the review of the general why we made the changes that we are suggesting.
Sure. We've heard talked about the bylaws at a previous meeting, but the bylaws currently require we have two meetings before we can actually change them, or, and then the full board approval, which this would be. The primary reason for moving to update the bylaws was due to the changes to Vermont's open meeting law, which requires more than 50% of your board for a quorum. We have a very large board and much more than we see here tonight, and that we ran the risk of, I think, not being able to pass a budget or take action when we needed to take action. So basically, the changes have been around moving some of the authority that went to from the full board to the executive committee. The only thing that we cannot do was to take the approval of the regional plan from the full board. That's in state statute, and the full board will also be approving local plans as well.
Great. Yeah, I'm just wondering what have other RPCs been doing in response to the changes in Vermont's open meeting law? Are they making similar changes?
I think none of the other regional planning commissions have a board as large as ours, but they have been making similar changes, yeah, from what I understand.
One question I have too in about the at-large member. It seems like we sort of liberalized that to whoever we want to do, right? So that's okay, I guess, but was there a reason for that?
At times, we've had interest from the board in having a member at large to represent the municipal sector, like town managers or
Right.
administrators.
Yeah.
Also, we had some people that when healthcare was a very hot topic, which probably still is, we had some people that thought we should have a healthcare representative. So we had the CEO of North Country Hospital at one point. And then we had somebody representing broadband when we were before we started the big build out in the state that we currently see today. So we had a broadband representative.
Okay. And Fred's now currently at large representing nonprofits,
Nonprofits.
right?
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
with your role in the Athenaeum, right?
Yeah, the Athenaeum. I'm also involved with Kingdom Animal Shelter.
Okay. Yes.
Online, any questions? I want to make sure we. Okay. Then I would entertain a motion to approve the bylaws as proposed.
So move.
I'll second.
And see,
Mike and Brighton.
Mike seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion carries. Thank you very much, everybody. And thank you to the staff for the hard work on that. There was a lot of adjustments and changes and questions and comments and conversations that went into thinking thoughtfully about those proposed amendments. So appreciate it. So we're up to the True Temper site discussion, and that's going to be Chad, Joe, and Evan. And do you take it away and do a presentation for us and then further discussion?
If it's okay, Cynthia, I can start off.
Absolutely.
So we've
Please.
talked about the idea of the taking NWDA getting involved in the ownership of the True Temper site here in St. Johnsbury to create housing. It is an 8-acre site in the neighborhood designated area that NVDA helped the town of St. Johnsbury put in place. It is a brownfield property, so there are obviously issues with that. We've done years of assessment work on the property between the town of St. Johnsbury and NVDA, and we're at a point where the cleanup needs to happen, and the only way we're going to be able to apply for cleanup funds is if a public entity is in the ownership role. So I would like to see if NVDA could step forward into the ownership role and apply for a cleanup grant, and then we would turn it over to a developer who we can hear from tonight. But that's essentially why we're here. So I think at that point, maybe Joe, do you want to speak? And I think you might have some slides to share.
Sure. I don't know if I can share. Oh, I think I can.
I just change that. Yeah. There we go.
Okay, well, thank you. And it's great to see so many familiar faces. And Dave, you know, you hit some of the points. I just wanted to show a couple of slides. I'll be pretty brief so we can move on with Evan and his vision and ideas for development and comments from Chad. But just quickly, as Dave mentioned, it's just under an 8-acre site. It was a former industrial plant that used to make handles for farm and yard tools, amongst other things. The property has really been out of production for probably close to 30 years and really provides very little utility to the neighborhood and the community. It's currently zoned as mixed use. And as Dave indicated, we worked quite extensively with Irene at NVDA to apply for the neighborhood development area designation, which we were granted in 2023, really targeting the idea of assisting a developer to build housing in that corridor. And so, you know, that corridor really is the Concord Avenue, Portland Street. It's what we refer to as the Somerville neighborhood of St. Johnsbury, and it is approximately a half a mile from the downtown core and just probably a quarter mile from our designated downtown boundary. Project progress to date, as Dave indicated, both NVDA and the town have accessed EPA assessment funds. Both organizations equally have invested approximately $350,000 each in environmental phase one, environmental phase two, environmental phase two supplemental, very extensive and complicated process, including efforts to develop cleanup work plans and opinion of probable cost. When we got to the opinion of probable cost, and I should mention right up front that, you know, the town had decided to play a take an ownership role in this, and we applied for a $1 million EPA cleanup grant, which we were successful at receiving. But when we received the opinion of probable cost of $2.7 million for cleanup, obviously, we didn't have sufficient funds, and we also couldn't be the applicant with an outstanding EPA grant that wasn't 75% drawn down. So that's why we really started turning to NVDA and seeing if they could be interested in playing a role of intern ownership here. The acquisition price, there is a letter of intent to purchase the property in place. That purchase price was originally negotiated at $275,000, and the town had committed $150,000 of funds to go towards acquisition and carrying costs and legal costs. through our St. Johnsbury Revitalization Fund, which many of you are familiar with the way the ARPA funds came through and the exemption that the town took. St. Johnsbury received $2.1 million through the ARPA program, and we're proud to say that we've invested about half of that in housing projects and trying to get some housing projects off the ground. I think we all understand how difficult that is. And one of the reasons we're playing an aggressive role in a public-private partnership to try to stimulate and catalyze some housing development. And then, you know, just a couple of quick bullets. Why we believe it's important for St. Johnsbury. You know, obviously we understand it's a statewide and region-wide priority to build housing. We currently are seeing expansion in the manufacturing, health services, and retail area, and housing is really holding our community back. EHV has a $44 million expansion, and they'll have approximately 70 full-time jobs available here soon. Northern Vermont Regional Hospital is undergoing approximately $30 million worth of expansion, and they typically have 30 to 50 full-time equivalent jobs that are open. And of course, we're also excited with our co-op project right in the heart of downtown St. Johnsbury, and they expect to bring on 30 or 40 FTEs when they finally get that project going. So there's lots of opportunity, but the lack of housing is really a problem and holding us back. We also see this opportunity for population growth, which we also believe is critical to creating the critical mass and the increase of our grand list that's necessary to support, you know, the increasing cost of providing services. So this is a strategic, deliberate effort. We've been years in the process. The ownership piece has gone a little bit back and forth, and that's why we're here today and tonight, this evening, to talk with you about the project and maybe a role that NVDA could play in this very important project for St. Johnsbury. We talked a little bit about the neighborhood development areas. This slide has a lot of information. I won't go into any depth, but really the whole intent of us doing this was to provide a pathway and incentives to catalyze housing development. So this is really at the core of what we've been working on for the last 3 to 5 years. So this project is not something we just thought up overnight. I just want everybody to know how deliberate this has been. So that's pretty much what I have to introduce the project, Dave. I don't know if there's anything else you'd like me to expand on. I'm certainly available to answer questions whenever you deem it appropriate, you and Cynthia.
No, thank you, Joe. I think just in this situation, we've seen development projects of a significant size require these public-private partnerships. And that's why we're working, happy to work together with, in this case, a willing landowner, very flexible. We have a supportive local government being the town of St. Johnsbury, and we have a committed housing developer, and we would like to hear now from Evan Olson from Timber to speak.
Great. Excellent. Thank you all. Thank you, Joe. It was a great setup. It's nice to be with you all. I thought I'd just do a quick introduction so you know more about myself and the team, what we're up to at Timber, and then our vision for this True Temper site. So I recognize many of you. I live just up the hill in Danville. When I moved to the Northeast Kingdom, I worked at NVDA to get some COVID recovery funds out the door. That was a great success, and I met a lot of wonderful people there. Afterwards, I met many more of you in my role at the Northern Forest Center. I was part of the group that redeveloped 560 Railroad Street in downtown St. Johnsbury. Another mostly vacant brownfield property right there in the downtown next to the future co-op there, the former Walgreens. And with help from the town and NVDA in many different ways, including brownfields assessment, redeveloped that building with the Northern Forest Center into 9 middle market apartments and 2 retail spaces, if you haven't been by recently. It's a beautiful building. It was a great success, and it needed a lot of support to get that done. So that's a little bit about my background. Let me see. I might try to also pull up some
some slides and things here. Just quickly to introduce you to the rest of the team. Some of you may have met my colleague, Josh Oakley. Josh is originally from the Southeast. He owned and ran a development and construction business in Birmingham, Alabama. Took a, I guess you'd call it a mini retirement from that, moved up to Waterford, fell in love with the area. And while Josh was in the area, we started working on this business that is now called Timber. A couple of years ago, we acquired and merged with another business out in Chicago, Interstice, and that has brought on some significant additional talent, including a partner in the business, Eric. We also have in-house architecture, construction team, in-house engineering, and then myself. And so what we've been working on at Timber here, if I'll try to pull up some slides, is a housing product that you see on the left. So fully designed housing units, single and low density multifamily buildings that are all made up of a kit of parts, so to speak. So the main thing that we have built up is a framing system that's used as engineered wood. You can see some of our components here in the middle and proprietary steel connectors to enable very rapid, cost affordable construction of housing. I think all of you that have been experiencing the housing challenge in your community know that there's a lot of reasons for it, and chief among them is the complexity and the cost of the construction itself. We have hopefully put together a system here to directly address the cost of construction, and we are actively looking for great partners in a place that we love to bring this product to market. So that's just a very quick background. There's a lot to it that I'd be happy to talk much more about, but let's jump back to True Temper now. Hopefully you can see a new set of slides. Great. Okay, Joe set up the existing conditions as the site sits today. I just want to share a conceptual idea of what this project could look like to cast a vision, show you the opportunity here. This is by no means final. As you all have heard, there's been a lot of work and thought put on this site and a lot more to go, but just to share a little bit of a vision here. So a couple things to know just right off the bat, only a portion of this site is developable. This upper light green area where the existing structures were is relatively flat and developable. The lower section here down to the floodplain, it drops off quite a bit down to the Moose River that you can see here to the north. That area is really not developable. It's wet. It would be inappropriate to do any development down there, but there is a nice area here appropriate for housing development. Importantly, there is an existing municipal sewer line. This is adjacent to the town water system. There's a public road right here. So all of the infrastructure pieces that help unlock housing are already in place, ready to be leveraged, which is key. I'm just going to click ahead here. So because we have these pre-designed housing units in several different configurations, it is very easy for us to conceptually map out what a plan could look like. Again, this is to cast a vision. This is not set in stone, but very simply, the access loop gets you into two what I would call zones for the site. So let me just mark those up here that you could develop in a separate timeline, but enables you to work from the back to the front of the site over time as funding allows. And so something like this could work out in both of these sections developed. So in what I'm calling zone one here over on the left, as you currently see, three sets of a row house concept, a fourplex. So dense enough for some economies of scale, but I think also still appropriate for the neighborhood. So that's 24 units of housing over here on the left side, again, purely as an example. And then seeing a mix going around this loop access with parking and vehicular access back to another four sets of the row house product and then a duplex. And I'm just going to click through here to show a couple other sets of concepts. But so this, what you're looking at here is, let's see, in this case, 46 units of housing. So a couple different concepts that we can, quickly adjust on here. This is looking at all duplexes on the right side and just in some various configurations. And lastly, I just want to show you a little bit about what this housing product kind of looks like. Again, a moderate density that I think is a good fit for the neighborhood. So this is that fourplex that I was looking at here. These are four individual apartments, each gable looking section here is its own apartment. So these, kind of a row house or condo style, working side to side with a shared wall. But each one of these units is a 2 or 3 bedroom apartment over 2 levels. And then this duplex product, a story and a half. We also have a 2-story duplex for 2 or 3 bedrooms as well. So I just wanted to cast this as a vision. And now maybe I'll just share a couple of thoughts on kind of how I feel like getting aligned here. As you heard from Joe and Dave, it really absolutely takes a public-private partnership to even get to the table in a housing development, even with hopefully the innovation we're bringing and being able to address construction costs. It is still very challenging to get a project to pencil. Just as an example, the hard costs of the materials and the labor to build like that duplex you just saw would probably come in around $300,000 per unit. That does not include acquiring the site. That does not include anybody making money off of it. That does not include the cleanup if a developer had to take those things on, right? And that three bedroom duplex would be, if you looked at the Vermont Housing Finance Agency, that would say that would be affordable to someone making 100% of area median income, your workforce, your middle income earner, at a sales price of around $350,000. So there's not a lot of room between the cost of construction, even bringing some innovation and a private partnership there. I think that my experience at the Northern Forest Center and being able to bring additional subsidy to a project like this is still going to be a part of the mix. But just to get to the table, to start to get to construction, we obviously need a cleaned up site to start from. And we're very grateful for the town and NVDA support and hopefully getting us to that point. So I'll stop there. I had a lot to share and I could go a lot further, but happy as well to answer any questions.
Hi, thanks so much for sharing. This is my first time hearing about this project. I'm new to the board, but a couple of questions came up for me in hearing I see that the Moose River is there on one side, and there was some conversation about flooding that had occurred in the past. And so, building houses in a floodplain brings up the question of what plans are in place to mitigate flooding. And then I also noticed that the Twin State Rail Corridor is there, right along where that driveway access point is. And over here in Lunenburg, I know it seems like, it might not happen, but from our perspective in Lunenburg, the railroad is actively clearing brush online, and they have plans to reactivate through to St. Johnsbury in the next 5 years. And so just wondering, if there have been any thoughts about the potential of that railroad coming back online and how that would affect this project.
I'm very happy to address the flooding concern there first, and then maybe I think Chad and Joe probably have a lot more visibility into the rail line discussion. So to be clear, we are definitely not proposing to build in the floodplain. I apologize, it is probably really difficult to see here, but there is a darker green line. I'm moving my cursor along here. I apologize, this is going to be difficult to see.
That Evan, really we're seeing your screen. We're not seeing the visual.
Oh, okay.
We're not seeing the presentation.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. Let's see. Hope you weren't just looking at me. That would be boring.
There we go.
Okay. Sorry about that. Again, apologize. This might be difficult to see. There's a dark green line here moving west to east across the site. Maybe you can see that. You see some trees that are marked up in here. This really represents a really steep rollover embankment that, I don't know, Joe, you spent a lot of time at the site. It's got to be 25 or more feet from this line down to the actual flood plain where it starts to get wet here and where the Moose River is. I don't know that the True Temper existing facility has ever flooded. It would not surprise me to hear that this lower area has flooded and some of these houses to the left. But anyway, so no, we're not proposing to build in the floodplain. And yes, the state, I think, has come out and looked at this specific concern.
So just to expand on that just a little bit. Has anybody done a cross section across that valley right now to establish where the elevation is for the 100-foot, 100-year flood?
So we do have the FEMA mapping. So it's fairly accurate. And the 100-year flood plain is quite a bit further down Concord Avenue. I'm not going to say that there's no 100-year floodplain on that property, but I can say with confidence that the area that Evan's talking about is well outside of the floodplain boundaries.
Okay.
I could probably provide some information and insight. Through the NDA process, they analyzed all the wetlands and all of the flooding areas. So when the state designated the NDA, that was all taken into account too.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
Is someone able to speak to the railroad question that Kate had?
So I've heard that the railroad was looking at a 5 to 10 year plan to come back connecting into St. Johnsbury. I think that could be beneficial for all of the Northeast Kingdom, especially if they're thinking a connection from Portland through to Boston can happen one day. Maybe there's passenger rail again, which I think I'd always heard in the past that was just not a likely scenario, but it'd be nice to get excited about that again. I'm sure that there'd have to be some work done and working with transportation engineers and the rail line to make sure that we had safe crossings going through there. But we've got other sites around town that have housing on them that are located in close proximity to the railroad. And I think it's just one line. It's not like it's Essex Junction running through there, but.
Yeah, I agree with Chad. I don't believe that there would be a significant impact of that being an active rail on a housing development on that site.
Yeah, the sites for being a downtown site, and this is, I just wanted to give my two cents in here too, is like, from my desk, Joe's put a lot of time into this. He's got the properties, developed a relationship with the property owner that the town hadn't been able to do in the past. It's a bit vacant, blighted property that's right adjacent to our water utilities, our sewer utilities. Its proximity to the downtown is favorable. There's White's Market right there within walking distance, and it would really support a sector of housing that we really need. And speaking about Evan, I watched him and the work he did with the Forest Center on their Railroad Street property. It was very capable of putting together packages that need to be put together to make a project like this work. And that Northern Forest Center project really, and Evan, if I get the numbers wrong, chime in here, because I know you know them intimately, but that Northern Forest Center project, even though it just created 9 apartment units, they were renting, advertising for like $12 to almost $2,000.
And yep, you had 3 bedrooms were a little over 2,000. Yep.
And you had a 60 person waiting list. Yes. So there was definite, showed the market that there is need for that middle income housing. I mean, we've got good partners on our affordable housing with Rural Edge, but we just need some of those other workforce housing. I'm sure that I've heard stories from many of our employers, including the hospital, that they have offered jobs and gotten people employed only to lose them because they cannot find a place to live. So from my desk, I'm really excited to see this project moving forward where it is and really hopeful that that we can see it continue to gain. I mean, we've put so much time and money into it so far, and it would be a shame to run into a hiccup right now when the cleanup is what's essential. And everybody in the state's saying do the housing. So I'm really encouraged that we're looking at this and being serious. And the town's financially committed to it.
Jim's got a question here.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm rambling.
I have a question for Evan and Joe. The density of that housing complex that you first showed looked to be not a Vermont landscape density, like there were too many houses in that area. Would you comment on that? That's what I saw, and that's my opinion, but I'd like to hear from both of Evan and Joe on that.
Sure, I 100% appreciate that. I will say that this neighborhood, I don't have a more zoomed out view, but it is a relatively dense neighborhood in terms of the size homes relative to the lots they're on. Yes, if this was in some of our other communities, in put dropping that density into a farm field would feel very different than dropping it into a downtown where I do think it is appropriate. It is not a high rise, which probably wouldn't fit anywhere in St. Johnsbury. I think it's the density that meets a need while still being a good fit. And you need to get to some level of density for cost efficiency. So that is definitely a part of it. Sharing a foundation and roof across that duplex or fourplex product, like you saw, helps a lot versus
Right.
a layout of all single family homes.
Correct. I understand that.
Thank you. We probably one more quick question and then we need to move on, but Kate.
This is my first time hearing about this project, so forgive my naivety, but I just wanted to clarify that these structures, I'm just wondering how many have been built as examples existing, and what are the oldest existing structures, and how are those holding up over time?
Thank you, Kate. I should have started with that. We are 100% a startup. We are doing something new here. I intend to build a demo unit that I would love for you all to visit in Danville as a local example. Our most close upcoming project would be, fingers crossed, we're working on a project in Greenville, Maine that would get kicked off next summer. That's in the
Way
region,
up
but
there.
but no, we have not built that fourplex or duplex that you've seen there. Out in the community, we have built them in a warehouse to test and iterate. But yes, this is new. And frankly, by the time the cleanup gets done that you've been hearing about, we will be much further along and absolutely have this product built. So I think the timeline gives us time to have more of those examples for you to come visit.
Great. So I'm looking for a motion for NVDA to proceed with the acquisition and redevelopment of the former True Temper site for the purpose of creating new housing within St. Johnsbury's neighborhood designated area on Concord Avenue, while ensuring that NVDA is not burdened from either a financial or environmental liability standpoint.
So, I'll second it.
Okay, so Fred moved and Paul seconded. Any further discussion?
Excellent process.
All those in favor, say aye, and online if you could raise a hand, that would be great.
Aye.
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 Wonderful. Any nays? And any abstentions? Okay, Chad, you had your hand up, did you?
That was me raising my hand to vote. It just took me a while
Oh, thank you.
to
Great. So it passes. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen, for your participation.
Thank you all.
Yes, thank you, Evan and Joe, and great work.
Thank you
Thanks.
very much, everybody. Have a nice evening.
Great. Thank you.
Can I ask
Sure.
what are some of the downsides besides like time delays and all the other stuff that you've all looked at with this acquisition and stuff?
Well, there's the risk that we would be taking ownership without having funding for cleanup. But the intent is, as the owner, we could then apply for EPA Brownfield Cleanup Grant.
Which you could
And
get more easily than.
$4 million is the maximum award, so
Yeah.
every word that covers the cost.
You've done this before.
Yes, we have actually a solar project in Lindenville. So, yes.
And at the end of the day, if they do get it cleaned up, and something happens, you got a piece of clean property you can do something with.
Great. All right. We're going to transition over to Allison. You ready for us, Allison?
Sure. Let me just bring up my
I'm just going to do
slides.
the regional plan update.
Yeah, and I will be brief. Once I my slides. There we go. Can everybody see my screen?
Yeah,
No.
now
Okay.
again.
We're ensconced in a major plan update. We were already doing this because our plan was approaching expiration and we wanted to do something radically different. However, Act 181 changed the direction of it to a certain degree. Just wanted to give you a heads up on how it's organized.
Allison, can you do the slideshow so we can see the full screen? So if you go up.
Let me
Are you
see.
ready?
View slideshow. There we go. You got it? Perfect.
Perfect.
We have an overall vision statement. It's kind of like an executive summary. And then it's organized around three different principles: equity, sustainability, and community empowerment. We took a lot of effort to identify tools that our communities can use to achieve their goals. Instead of just having it just chapters that meet all of the statutory requirements, we organized the plan around themes, physical infrastructure, like transportation networks, our energy infrastructure, as well as water and sewer. And other physical infrastructure, such as first responders. And then we have another planning theme on community and culture that includes social infrastructure, that includes healthcare, education, access to recreation and food access, as well as housing and our historical and cultural resources. And then finally, we have a third theme on stewardship and climate and its economic development, because a lot of our economic development is tied to working lands and the beauty of our natural environment. Then we also have a section on natural resources, and then we have a section on water resources and flood resilience. And we made a concerted effort to tie basin planning to flood resilience. So, this is what our timeline is. We've pretty much wrapped up the future land use mapping. We will have an interactive future land use map on our website soon. Right now, we are in the thick of finishing up our draft of the regional plan. And in March, you can expect to read a draft. At the end of March, we will be submitting the entire plan to the Land Use Review Board. That's the board that was newly stood up to review and approve regional plans as well as future land use maps. At that time, we will also have to identify all of the communities that are eligible and are seeking Tier 1B status, that is partial exemption of Act 250. There's a new planning goal, and all of the regional plans are required to address this, about that environmental benefits and burdens must be spread equally among members of the community. We don't have a lot of guidance on it yet, so we're all struggling a bit. However, we have received some feedback from the Land Use Review Board that we are expected to address them. So the ways that we are proposing to address them are, in each chapter, we would simply identify what we consider the burdens to be. Here are some examples of burdens. These are actual statements from our proposed plan. Areas where people would experience undue flood risk or experiencing energy insecurity. Or people who are seniors or are people with disabilities who might have limited access to transportation and who have a limited range of housing choices. Some examples of benefits: increased resilience and energy savings from our intense efforts to weatherize building stock. Also benefits from compact infill village center development, kind of like the vision that we just saw with Town of St. Johnsbury. And sustainable construction techniques and adaptive reuse. So these are just some examples. Our intent is to make sure that all of the chapters carefully weigh potential benefits and burdens. The chapters themselves, we're really trying to get away from writing them like downloadable white papers. They should be more concise and more condensed, and they're really centered around single compelling statements that provide a snapshot of the key challenges and opportunities. And again, these are just some examples of some of our statements. In our housing chapter, we have a statement that nearly 30% of our housing stock was built before 1940. Our region does have an unusually large share of older housing stock. Also, we have this vision for compact infill development, but in reality, we have limited wastewater capacity that limits that development. So we need to acknowledge that. So these are just some example takeaways that you'll see in our chapters. I'm going to turn this over to Kyle, because one of the requirements that we have in our plan is to set housing targets, and we've been given some ambitious housing targets. Kyle's going to talk about the methodology that we've done, and we're not going to address specific housing targets for our communities. If you do ask, just remember to identify the town that you're with, and we'll remember to double them. No, I'm just kidding. But anyhow, I'm going to hand this over to Kyle, and he can talk a bit about the methodology.
Sure. So we've been working on these for disaggregating our regional housing target for a little while, and I think we talked about it today again. I think we're really close to sharing that out to everybody. But today I just wanted to give a very high-level overview of what we've put together as our methodology so far. We identified these three categories: town capacity, the tiers, and land use categories, each being assigned individual weightings to determine each of our town's housing targets, again, based off the regional housing target we were given according to the 2025 housing needs assessment. Town capacity is essentially a tiered ranking, 0 to 4, of all of our towns based on things like water and wastewater, municipal capacity, and a slight weight to population as well. Tiers being the tier 1A and 1B, eligible towns also getting additional weight to their housing targets because of, again, partially that being an indicator of capacity as well. And then the land use categories, so breaking down the centers and planned growth areas, village and transition areas, and rural general, each being assigned individual weightings of their own based on each town's percentage of those land categories, as a percentage of our entire regional land categories for all those three categories. And those will be added together to determine each town's housing target. And that's, again, broken into 2030 low and high end and 2050 low and high end as the regional targets were.
Thank you,
One
Kyle.
question, if I may.
Yes?
With respect to the land use categories, are you going to use the LURB categories or are you going to use town categories? LURB.
We're going off the new future land use categories. So the mapping that's been done over the past year or so, each town has been assigned all the land in the town, those 10 land use categories that I think at a past meeting we had the Kat and maybe Liam had talked about a little bit. But the three that we've identified as being assigned, again, with different weightings, but the centers and planned growth areas being one category, the village and transition areas, and then a much smaller percent based on the percentage of rural general.
So that would be ag and then tier three.
No, tier three, again, that's separate. And we are just assigning the weight to rural general. So that wouldn't take into consideration rural ag or rural conservation.
Gotcha. Okay.
And
May I?
Work to be done. Go ahead, Kate.
I was just going to ask, and I think I already know the answer, but just throwing out there in these housing targets and waiting categories, connecting, I know it's a lot, it would be additional work, but connecting with the town listers to see how many homes have been constructed recently in towns, because I know that for our community, our housing targets, I think, are going to be low based on our land use categories. However, we, according to recent data, we've had 19 homes built in the last year. And that does reflect a lot of people are buying land and building houses.
We've got the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
So we have taken into account the percentage of existing housing units, which should reflect recent construction activity. And the other thing is that we do weight it over capacity in terms of infrastructure that could support the new housing development. So you might be surprised. I mean, I totally can appreciate how many of our communities can see these housing targets as an opportunity to increase the tax base. And that's why we're trying to gear our targets towards communities that are able and willing to accommodate more housing units. And you can certainly increase your housing targets. And I'm sure this will be an interesting process when we roll this out. But yes,
I don't think our community wants to increase the housing target. No, I know.
Not heading that direction, Allison. No,
I don't think we want to. I think we're just seeing it happen.
Yeah. So I think it's also important to remember that the purpose of the housing targets, one of the reasons they exist is to communicate the significant investment that we have to make in order to meet housing demand in the future, if our communities are going to thrive. So that's another, it's almost like when you're doing energy planning, you're asked to evaluate the number of housing of houses that you would have to weatherize, the number of units that would have to go through fuel switching. It's a very similar exercise, and I think it exists to communicate the scope and scale of investment that's required.
Great. Thank you, Allison and Kyle. I appreciate that. Anything else?
I've just got a few other quick. Just to talk about our mapping, we met with every single town at least once. There was one that did not take us up on the invitation. The interactive map is coming up soon. And as we know, our housing targets are nearly done. Normally when we do a regional plan, we have our two required hearings that are very sparsely attended. And if you've been out and about in the Northeast Kingdom this summer and this fall, you've seen us out there with the tents at all of the public events, doing outreach, doing surveys, doing the thing that planners do with post-it notes. And we got a lot of great feedback. We also did a raffle giveaway, and we had an electric lawnmower and an electric chainsaw that went to local residents. And I believe that's it.
Great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Look forward to the next version here. So we have another opportunity that we need to consider tonight and make a decision on, which Annie, you're going to present on the Due North co-working and innovation space.
Yeah, thank you, Cynthia. I'm going to share my screen and
Can you all, I can't see you anymore, but can you all see that in full screen?
No, we can't. Huh. It's not
Oh, you know
coming
why? Nope, I
up.
can tell you why, because I did not hit share screen.
Why?
That would be step one.
Okay. Could always blame the internet.
Thank you, Fred. I will do that. Let's see. Share my screen. Share. And now you should be able to see it. And now, can you see it in full screen mode?
There we go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Step one. All right. I already introduced myself, but I'm Annie McLean. I'm the Community and Economic Development Coordinator at NVDA. And I'm going to give you a hopefully short presentation about Due North Coworking and NVDA's relationship to the space. So a little bit about Due North. For those of you who don't know, it's a physical location in downtown Lindenville. It was launched in 2018 as a result of a lot of community input and feedback from a Vermont Council on Rural Development community visit. At that time, Linden State College, now VTSU, led the initiative. Anyway, purchasing a building right on the corner as you enter Lindenville from the east. It's 3,200 square feet. It's the former Bag Bomb building, so it's a real historic presence in the downtown. It's a beautiful building, and there's a restaurant on the first floor, Mosaic Cafe. The co-working space is now three floors. It hosts startups, remote workers, freelancers, and nonprofits, incubates businesses, has a variety of programming that comes out of the space and is hosted here. And I'll get into that in a minute. Again, back in 2018, when this space came into existence, there was an array of partners, NVDA being one of them. But a ton of federal investment, local investment. It was just a really great, really big initiative that a lot of funding partners came together to make happen. And I'm going to talk about now why does NVDA, how are we involved in this? Well, in 2023, NVDA applied for an EDA Build to Scale grant. We were successful. We received $1.5 million in EDA funding. Half of that was matching funds. And I know Representative Marcotte is on the call. He was very instrumental in helping us get 350,000 of those matching dollars from the state. So thank you. And this funding was used to for it was supposed to be used over a 3-year period to strengthen the regional tech innovation system, to expand support programs for startup businesses and entrepreneurs, and to increase access to social and financial capital by building mentor and funding networks. And we applied for this grant in partnership with Due North through Vermont State University. And all of this funding is tied together, Due North being the physical space where a lot of the programming would be offered, and NVDA kind of being the lead on a lot of the programming and business support services. At this time, VTSU is going through a lot of different transitions, and they are no longer interested in managing the space. They're shifting their strategic priorities toward more student-centered activities, less involvement with the community and outside support services, kind of going back to their core competency of doing student programming. So this is an opportunity. So VTSU is looking for an entity to take over management of the physical space. This is an opportunity to reimagine and strengthen local oversight of the physical space, and also to expand programming and kind of the sphere of influence of Due North throughout our three counties, offering programming and events based out of here and at satellite locations. It's also an opportunity to ensure an uninterrupted service for current membership at the space and continuity of services. And I'll talk a little bit more about funding. I'll talk a lot more about funding coming up, but the key piece, the key takeaway here is that operations and personnel for the space are fully funded through our EDA grant through October 2027.
So what is Due North? A little more about it. What is co-working? There's a couple of options. We have members here that can buy day passes. So folks that are skiing at Burke, that are mountain biking at Kingdom Trails, they need to do some work. They need to take a call. They can buy a day pass, come in for the day and have full access to the space. We have full membership where folks can either have a dedicated desk or just pay a fee to have a hot desk, which is where you sit down with your computer in any available space. We also offer group, or Due North, sorry, also offers group memberships to companies. Kingdom Trails is a good example, has a group membership where they pay a set fee and all of their employees have the ability to work at the space. I'll go really quick through all this. I know we've been sitting through a lot of presentations, but the programming offered through Due North, which NVDA has had a hand in for many years and is also funded through our current EDA grant. We have a 10-week business incubator, business accelerator program called Kickstart NEK. We've partnered with the college in the past and now with Vermont Sustainable Jobs Fund to offer a forest business accelerator for businesses that work in the forest tech space. That's forestry or anything that has to do with wood products. We also offer one-on-one business coaching through partnerships with Vermont Small Business Development Center and the Micro Business Development Program. All of these things happen out of here again and at satellite locations. NVDA has partnered with Due North on several events and an ongoing series of events. The Rumble in the Kingdom, we had our third Rumble this year. 12 businesses pitched to a crowd of 125 people at Catamount Arts. Very exciting. Great fun event, brings in a huge audience to watch businesses compete for cash prizes, and really highlights local entrepreneurship and kind of really innovative things that are happening here in the kingdom. We also offer workshops, networking events, and businesses often offer pop-up events in the space here. So we had a gentleman that came in and did a pop-up headshot event a couple of weeks ago where anybody could just drop in and get headshots, which was pretty fun. So the space is really a community space that can be used by many different groups for events. This is just a quick kind of, I couldn't put everybody's logo on here. There've been many over the years, but again, businesses work out of here, remote workers, we have nonprofits that use the space, businesses that started out here and outgrew the space, sort of incubated here and have now moved on to their own space and hired more employees. Oops, not quite there yet. Ah, going the wrong way. There we go. Anyway, you can read the slide. I'll move along. I'll give a quick financial overview for a fiscal year 2025. These are all annual expenses. Income from the space comes from memberships, conference room rentals, and we have a classroom upstairs. You can see the rental fees are low. There's definitely an opportunity to expand those. And also grant funding is a big one. The takeaway here, though, is the income is greater than the expenses. Pretty standard expenses for the space itself, rent, staffing with benefits, electric, heat, other utilities like internet, management software, maintenance supplies, etc. Here's our projections for FY26, which we're already well into. You can see some of the expenses went down. They used to have two different internet providers, which was a requirement of a prior grant for redundancy. That's dropped off, so the internet is about half now, and some of the other expenses have gone down or adjusted slightly. Staffing has gone down. There's less employees at the space now. But again, the takeaway is that the income far exceeds the expenses, and as you can see, the grant funding for FY26 does come from NVDA's EDA Build to Scale grant. And again, you'll see a surplus in revenue, which basically allows us to use grant funds to offset or to supplement membership income, allowing potential for a surplus to build up while the grant funding is in place. So the opportunity here is to for NVDA to take on management of the space, the physical space. We're already working very much in the programming space here. We'd be able to maintain continuity of service at the physical space for members, There's an opportunity to reframe the space as our regional innovation hub and not just a co-working space, allowing us to really highlight the many other opportunities and services that the space provides. Opportunity to increase membership and streamline our payment system to increase revenue, monetize programming and community space use through charging for rentals and having the space be utilized by more groups. We also an opportunity to increase NVDA staff capacity for communications and event support, and lots more. I could go on. These are our next steps and timeline. We are looking for board approval from NVDA this evening. We would then go on to sign an MOU with Vermont State University and transfer the lease agreement, which runs through April of 2027, to NVDA. Throughout December and January, we would work to transition assets and account with no interruption to services and programming at the space. And then in February, ideally February 1st, 2026, NVDA would assume management of operations at the physical space in Lindenville.
Great, thanks,
And
Annie.
that's it. I think I went through that pretty quickly. I'm very happy to answer questions. And thank
And
you
there would
all.
be one employee that would come. So if we get to a motion, I'll add that in, that the employee would actually come from Due North and would actually come under NVDA and could be actually used in a different capacity to support NVDA as well as Due North.
Just curious, would NVDA move into that space entirely?
No, we're under lease. Our lease here ends in 2028, I believe.
I'm just wondering that this is not for the ownership of the building itself, because I saw that rent is one of the expenses. This is for operations of the Due North.
And we'd be assuming a lease
You'd be
also.
assuming a lease.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Is there any NVDA staff time required?
We would there's currently a person that's managing the facility. We need authorization from the board to add one more staff person because we're at the max of 15 currently. So this we would just need to, in addition to moving forward with the management piece, we would need to approve allowing one more staff person.
Dave, as executive director, how does that look for NVDA in the future? What are your feelings?
I think it looks good. I went to Annie's Rumble or the pitch competition here in St. Johnsbury, and I was just amazed at the excitement that the entrepreneurs brought to the local community. I mean, the audience was full of young people that were just really excited about the way we're going in that entrepreneurship area. So,
So you're having management control would increase or at least sustain that kind of attendance in.
sustain and then grow. And we hope to grow the entrepreneurship efforts, yes.
Questions online? Make sure that we there's anyone that has questions about the opportunity as well. Or Representative Marcotte, I know you were supportive of this in the beginning, so any thoughts you want to share as well?
No, I actually brought my committee there. We did a tour of St. Johnsbury a couple years ago, and we did go to Due North, and I think it was a good experience. And I think it's something that we should continue to work on.
And Chad, you have a your hand up in my as well.
Yeah, the question I had was, is the lease on the space, the building, coincide with the grant, or is it? So letting the grant funds expire, and well, I mean, what I see is an opportunity here to try to. I mean, it's obviously very heavily dependent on grant funds at this point, but you got almost 2 years to try to figure out how to keep it going. But you need to be able to back away if I'd hate to be stuck in a grant or in a lease that goes beyond the term of what the funding is.
Well,
Any
you're
other? Okay, go ahead.
sorry, may
Yeah.
I? Yeah, so we're actually in a really great position there. The lease actually ends about 6 months before the grant ends. So we have an opportunity at that point to renegotiate, potentially just for those 6 months, ideally, and then longer if we able if we are able to create a revenue stream that looks like we're going to be able to float this without grant funding. And again, along with all the programming we're currently offering through Due North, there is an opportunity to leverage additional grant funding for that as well. But we would not be on the hook for the lease while we weren't drawing down grant funding from EDA.
Perfect. Marty.
I had the same question in terms of the extent of the grant funding and how long that would last. But it sounds like that's been answered. I think it's a good opportunity for NVDA to get into the management of it if we want to hire an employee to help do that. I think it's a great opportunity. We need to keep it going, but we're going to have to figure out how to supplement or substitute the grant income in another 2 years. And that is a concern that we need to figure out how to grow that.
And Mike, you had a question, I think, for your hand up.
Yeah, I mean, that was my concern is, that's it's got a big, pretty big funding gap that we're gonna have to figure out how 2 years is a short time period to increase revenue $100,000. So it's risky. I mean, not I fully support the idea of it, but it is risky, especially in our current grant environment that we're in over the next couple of years.
Part
Yeah, I
of
think we.
that.
Oops, go ahead,
Go
Emmy.
ahead, Dave.
Well, I think we totally agree with your thoughts on that, and but we really need to focus on the marketing of the space and growing the membership, which I don't think has been done as well as it could have been in past years. So Annie can speak to that also.
Yeah, there's
And
been. Oh. Go
go
ahead,
ahead,
Fred.
Annie. Then Fred. After Annie, you want to answer that one question, and Fred.
Sure. I was to say to build upon what Dave said, there's been virtually no advertising of the space. There's a huge opportunity, especially with the new ownership and everything that's going on at Burke, to advertise the space and let people know that it's here. Parents at the Academy at LI, it's a great opportunity for folks that have to travel to bring their kids in to have a space to work. Additionally, organizations like the Chamber has used it for programming of their own. RTC and other nonprofits have used the space for their meetings, and there's just a lot of there's a lot of opportunity there to grow that revenue from the room rentals as if they're advertised properly. It's not going to fill the whole gap, but it's a start, and I think that there's some really low hanging fruit we can go after right away.
Fred?
Who owns the fixed assets, tables, chairs, stuff like that?
We will. The university owns that, and that will all be part of the transfer. So there's some very nice kind of Scandinavian themed decor and furniture. It's beautiful. So if you
Thank
haven't
you.
been here, come and check it out. We got some very nice tables, chairs, and desks that will be coming as part of the space.
If we move forward, maybe we can have one of our meetings there. That would be fun to do. We could do a mixer beforehand or after or something. We'll give that's the next thing.
We should do a welcome to NVDA mixer.
Yeah, we're gonna
the next item on the agenda. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just curious, market demographics, how many towns around, does it go across state, goes international into Canada? Where are the possibilities for that? And is there any data, or is there someone who's going to be finding that out, doing the research on that, so they get a better idea? I mean, you've seen stuff, we hear stuff, but what's the data going to look like so that we can base the growth decisions more on what the facts are?
Well, we will have the facts going forward. As managers of the space, we will be tracking that data as we're required to for our grant. So we will have access to that. We have data on membership right now. I don't think we have any Canadian members at the moment. I'm sure we've had some Canadian day passes, but there's definitely an opportunity to expand and grow that membership. Part of our grant requirements would entail us to do annual reporting, or sorry, biannual reporting, and then we would probably produce under the umbrella of NVDA an annual report for Due North going forward if we were to take this on. We already do track the programming numbers because we're kind of the lead entity in the programming that comes out of here right now. But in terms of the space numbers, that would all kind of come under one umbrella.
Is this something new for NVDA to get into?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. To really expand that business development and entrepreneurial
Well, it's
support.
all part of the whole economic development part that NVDA is big on in the region.
Yeah, very different approach.
That makes it a real yes vote.
Yeah, something like this has a lot of applications around the whole Northeast Kingdom.
Which we need to have.
Yeah.
No, co-work, I think the co-working space is such a huge asset.
Yeah.
And giving people without electricity and Wi-Fi access to those spaces. And I was just wondering if there's additionally resources, if not there, nearby for coffee and laundry and showers and that kind of thing.
Store is a restaurant.
Great. Well, I'm just gonna read what if somebody would like to move the NVDA assume management and North Due North Co-working and Innovation Project located at 930 Broad Street in Lindenville, Vermont, including the creation of an additional NVDA employee position to support the work effective February 1st, 2026. This position will be incorporated within the current and approved 2025, 2026 NVDA budget.
Also move, Steve Amos.
Okay, Steve.
Great, great projects.
I'll second it.
Fred will second. Further discussion?
You need more than one employee.
No.
Okay.
No.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any nays? And any abstentions? Okay, passes. Thank you so much. So the
Thank you
last
all.
thing. Great. Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Annie.
And good luck. It's now on your plate.
Thank you, Cynthia and Dave.
You get ball caps.
We said that to her when she was presenting. I'm like, well, it's your challenge now to see if you can get it profitable in 2 years. Great. So the last thing I just wanted to touch on, we've talked about board engagement, and it's been wonderful to have this many board members here tonight, which is fantastic. We were wondering about ways to get more board engagement during board meetings. But when we mentioned the mixer, that may be the key to doing it. I'm not sure. In the past, we've had board meetings where we had going out to eat, and we've done that, and we're thinking of still doing that in June. But is there other things that you think we could be doing to get people more engaged who aren't really showing up, or towns that maybe aren't showing up as much?
My only thought has been more personal contact.
Communications.
Yeah.
Personal communications.
Yeah.
Make contact, make connections.
And would that be us as board members, like each getting,
NVDA, sure.
I
could you
could
go out
find some dumb guy and volunteer to do it.
to do it if we all did a couple towns that
Gotcha.
are
You
maybe
really
close
start.
to us or something like that? What would be
Playing
the
first, right?
helpful?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure that some of the board members really know what they're supposed to be doing. The select board said, okay, we'll have Charlie do.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Some more clarity around the role.
Yes,
Okay,
absolutely.
that's an
No,
opportunity.
I think it is just Jason calling these people and saying, hey, I'm Fred.
Well, and follow up with the towns and the select board and call and say, hey, your members aren't showing up to meetings, and you're not getting a vote, and making towns accountable for that and those individuals accountable for showing up or not. And maybe it's just a matter of, oh yeah, they have a lot going on right now. We need more backups, and having the ability to have those backups on record at select board meetings.
And you, as a first time, got informed about a whole bunch of pieces that NVDA is involved in. I would feel it as overwhelming because I've listened to Dave's presentation at a select board meeting at St. Johnsbury, and it's been huge. The other problem that I've seen, just generally speaking, besides board member engagement, is a lack of educating and marketing all of the pieces that are going on here out into the public well enough so that any concerned citizen, resident, could be aware of what is happening economically. There's so much negative out there. And those people are going to be negative no matter what. But there's enough reasonable people that don't know and aren't hearing this. And I was at the select board meeting when Dave presented all of what was going on. And the person who was the reporter for the local newspaper, I didn't see anything come out in the newspaper. And he had a list going of all of the development economically, which affects affects everyone, whether they're here or just out there. So getting some more of that out, I've seen this since I've been a part of the Planning Commission in 2013. We need to get more market visibility and educate people, get it out there. Yeah. Because this is the awesome piece happening now.
I'd say make it simple and concise and identify that community involvement, having board members there helps, you know, get grant funding and opportunities to residents in their communities and to our region as a whole. But make it really simple and concise and that you need their involvement.
What about online? We have some feedback online about how to get more engagement, and it sounds like even share more of the good work that NVDA is doing.
Good stories are always a good selling feature, even if it's bad news. If you can turn it into a good story, that gets people's attention. I can tell you, when it comes to, like, we're dealing with wastewater treatment plants or whatever, I always tell all the trials and tribulations, whether they're good or bad, and you just kind of make it into a fun story, even the tough stuff, because that's what it's what gets people talking.
Well, I think the feedback is helpful. Do you have any other questions, Dave, that you want to ask of for board engagement or attendance or anything?
No, thanks for your comments, everybody, and your feedback. Allison and Kyle, I don't know if you want to speak to, because of the future land use mapping exercise that we had to do, it was a lot of work, but this was a direct opportunity to get out in every single community. And I don't know what feedback you might have from some of those meetings.
I think we learned how to step up our A game in doing outreach. And I also think that, like, the watch party that we had with that second webinar, I think it was really interesting how the people who attended the watch party had no idea how planning works. So if we could think of, I guess, just more general community-oriented programming that might get people interested in what we're doing. We always assume that people know how planning works. And that's a dangerous assumption. Kyle, you attended that watch party, and I was stunned by some of the questions.
Yeah. So while they did the presentation online, I was at the St. Jade Hub downtown. And there's maybe 6, 7, 8 of us there. And that's exactly the thing. I don't think, you know, working in the weeds so much in planning, you know, poking my head up like that and realizing, I mean, most of them didn't even know what NVDA was, don't know when their planning commission and select board meetings are, don't know where to get started to voice their concerns or feel like they can't. And just a general lack of awareness that these resources exist, these positive things are happening, and maybe where and how to get involved. So more programming, outward facing, for people that might not be so deep in the weeds of planning like everybody here.
Maybe we just don't get our geek on as much.
You said it, Allison.
Was that Allison?
Well, thank you so much, everybody. We're at 7:30, and I always like to end on time. Can I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Jim?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
If there's no nays, have a great
happy
night.
Holidays.
Thank you so much.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.